Welcome to this Happy Home Podcast. I'm Arlene Pellicane. Who do you say Jesus is? How you answer this question changes your life. My guest, Becky Harling, is here to help us in our quest to know God today, specifically through the I Am statements of Jesus. As you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see that Jesus said things like, I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. You know, when you understand these truths, they can transform your life and also the life of your family. So I've invited my good friend, Becky Harling, who is a tremendous Bible teacher, to come in and help us understand these I am statements, particularly that are so important as we enter the Christmas season to know who is Jesus. And whether you're listening to this podcast in December or any other time of the year, to know what does the Bible say? What does Jesus say about himself? If we can understand it, it will just change our lives for the better. So I've asked Becky to share from her Bible study, which is called Who Do You Say That I Am? Becky is a sought-after speaker, author, and Bible teacher. She's a pastor's wife. She and her husband, Steve, have 4 grown kids and, to date, 11 grandkids. She is a breast cancer survivor, a sexual abuse survivor, and she is here to share how Jesus can truly change your life if you let him and if you take his I Am statements to heart. Let's get started. Well, Becky, I'm so happy to be able to talk with you. And here we are, very close to the Christmas season. And whether you're listening to this podcast and it's December or it's a different month, every time season of the year is a good time to focus on Jesus. Now, you have written this amazing 8-week Bible study, Who Do You Say That I Am? And I just want to think of one of the I am statements. You know, I love bread. I do. So
you and my husband.
I know.
Like his name, staple.
Exactly. We love bread. You know, that he said, I am the bread of life. And I just want to start with that. Like, I have this podcast and a lot of married people listen and they're thinking about how can I improve my marriage? How does that statement, I am the bread of life, does that have anything to do with marriage? How can that maybe impact someone?
Oh, my word, Arlene, you hit my favorite I am statement because it basically revolutionized my marriage. You know, I got married really young, as did my husband. Yeah. And I just came to marriage imagining that I was married to this knight in shining armor and that he was going to be able to fill all my needs, you know, flowers every day, compliments all the time.
Yes.
And, you know, it just kind of wasn't going like that.
Yeah.
And at the time that I discovered Jesus' I am statement, I am the bread of life, and really dug into it, I realized, wow, Jesus is saying he is everything that I need, everything that I desire can be found in him. And as I began to internalize Christ's love, you know, his love was perfect. Mm-hmm. It never got tired of me. It was never annoyed by me. And as I began to internalize that love, Arlene, I began to be able to love Steve out of the overflow of a full heart. Mm-hmm. Rather than always craving more and more from
right.
Steve, wasn't able to give.
That is huge because you come into a marriage hungry, like you're not having that love filled by the Lord, and you're thinking, you are not doing it for me, to your husband. Why are you
yes.
not meeting these needs? But when you come and your husband comes home and you're not looking for that because you feel completely loved by God, that's a different story.
It's totally different. And the great thing about Jesus' I am statement, I am the bread of life, is we can go back for as much as we want.
Yeah.
So we can, on a bad day, go back and say, Jesus, every few minutes, I just need more of your love today.
Yeah.
I'm feeling weak. I'm feeling unloved. I'm feeling criticized. Just fill me with yourself. And he's more than willing to do that.
Yeah.
So I just love that.
Another of the statements is, I am the vine, that passage in John 15. And, you know, we can say, okay, Lord, I believe that I am the vine, but then we're growing on this vine and we're worried and we have fear and we have uncertainty and we're stressed about our to-do list and our turkey in the oven that's about to burn or whatever it
yes,
is that's doing.
Yes.
We have this stress. So how can we, you know, relate to I am the vine, and how does it address all that fear and uncertainty that can sometimes in the real world affect us?
I love that I am statement too, because it shows us that we are the branches. So we are so intrinsically embedded in the vine that Jesus is able to empower us to do all that he calls us to do. And I just remember, Arlene, raising four kids.
Yeah.
And worry was my go-to. I mean, I could have my kids buried and dead and know what I was wearing to the funeral, you know?
Right. Yeah, because they went on a, you know, a road trip with their youth group or something.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and they would forget to call, and it was just like panic for me. And I began to realize, okay, Lord, I am only the branch. I'm only a piece of what you're doing in their lives. You are in charge of their lives. You're the vine. And so I can just focus on remaining in you, and you're going to empower me to parent them with courage, which was a big step for me, to allow them to do what you've called them to do, and to allow me to do the things that you've called me to do. Yeah. And so it was huge for me. You know, he's always there.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah. You talk also about, what if an abundant life is a bold life? You know, so what do you mean by living a bold life? How can we live a bold life? And how can we encourage our kids also to do that?
Yeah, I love that. See, I married Steve, and I was looking for security, Arlene.
Yeah, right. And he had bold as his middle name, and you just didn't know it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the guy is like just nuts in that realm. And right. He was always throwing me off the next cliff, always saying, come on, take this risk, you know. And gradually, God began to change me. And I realized, you know, I used to think an abundant life was a really safe life. And here's the thing about Jesus. He never says, hey, come follow me, guys, and I'm going to keep you safe forever.
It's true.
You know? Yeah. He says, come follow me on this great adventure, and you're going to see miracles and stuff, but you're going to see them because you're taking risks for me. And so I began to believe that Jesus is calling us to live a bold, confident life for him. Mm-hmm. And that looks like taking big risks for him, risking talking about your faith to your neighbor who maybe is very anti-Christian, risking allowing your kids to go on, you know, short-term mission trips when you'd rather keep them home safe where you can watch everything they do. You know, mm-hmm. There's a million tiny risks that we can take for Jesus every day. I mean, really, when you think about it, just trusting Jesus is a huge risk because we're not given guarantees other than he will be with us forever. He loves us forever. And in the end, he works all things together for our good.
That's a good calculated risk. That is a risk worth taking for sure.
Yeah.
Now, let's say someone's listening and they're like, okay, I am feeling bolder. I am going to talk to my neighbor because Christmas is a great time to talk to your neighbors about Jesus. But what if they say, well, that's nice. You know, Jesus is good for you, but I have my own religion or my own spirituality. You know, I'm sometimes stymied when I hear that. Like, I don't know what to say to that. You know, how would you respond to statements like that?
I always think it's a great idea in those kinds of situations, Arlene, to ask them a question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, never push back with an argument because arguing never really accomplishes anything.
Right.
So ask them, well, you know, you're comfortable with your own spirituality. Tell me about your spirituality.
Yes.
You know, how does that keep you comfortable? And
yeah.
Keep digging deeper with your questions, because eventually they're going to come up empty.
Right.
And because, you know, spirituality without Jesus is not really a good gig,
yes,
right?
And totally.
It's not fun, and it's not grounded in true faith. And so, but by asking questions, you can get pretty far with a person. You know, my husband had a really interesting conversation with a man several weeks ago, and he was just saying to him, well, how does that work for you?
Mm.
And eventually the person was like, well, it's actually not working too well.
Right.
Then you have an open opportunity to say, well, you know, let me tell you kind of where I'm at with that.
Right.
But you're not arguing.
Yes. I like that a lot. And then they are discovering themselves kind of the holes in their own spirituality instead of you telling them these are the holes in your spirituality. It's a lot better coming from them. That's excellent. I love that.
Yeah. And I feel like some people say, well, Becky, you know, you're so black and white because you say Jesus is the only way. Hey, yeah. I didn't say that. Jesus
right.
said that. So my answer is always, well, you know, like, I understand where you're coming from. You know, maybe take a look at what Jesus says about himself and you decide for yourself, because I can tell you're a very intelligent person.
Yes.
You know, and you let them look at the claims
of Jesus. Yes. I love that. The last thing I want to ask you, you know, you've been able to travel the world with your husband in ministry. You know, you don't just talk about this. You live the bold life and you go out and you pack your suitcase and you go to all these places. You know, are there some qualities of Christ's I am statements that you see people, you know, all around the world, that these are the questions people are asking?
Oh, my word. It's so amazing, Arlene. I could go on and on. Yes. You know, there's a man that my husband talked with just a few weeks ago in a part of the world where Christ is not known. And this man actually had Jesus speak to him through a vision. And he was practicing a different faith, came to Christ, and now has been tortured four or five times. He's been poisoned, and he just doesn't die.
My goodness.
So people are like, okay, we need the Jesus that you have.
Wow.
Obviously, he is who he says he is. And I could tell you story after story after story. I mean, Jesus is alive and well around the world, and we hear the horror stories on the news, but I can tell you this, Jesus is calling out of people to himself all over the world, and it is happening, and people are coming to Christ in droves, and it is exciting.
Mm.
Christmas is the most amazing time of year to dive into the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and figure out once and for all, what do you think about Jesus? Who do you say that he is?
Yeah.
Because who you say he is going to impact who he says you are.
Mm.
And it's life-changing.
Friend, whenever you are unsure of who you are, look to Jesus. Because the more you understand the nature of God and who he is, the more you know who you are, that you are a daughter of God, fully loved and fully known. And if you want to dive deeper, you know, you've caught Becky's enthusiasm for the Savior and you want to know him better. You want to know him in that intimate way, as Becky talked about him, you know, that it's not just someone you know about, but that Jesus is someone you truly know. And doing a Bible study can really help you do that. So I highly recommend Becky Harling's Bible study, which is called Who Do You Say I Am? A Fresh Encounter for Deeper Faith. That is put out by my publisher, Moody Publishers, and you can find out more at BeckyHarling.com. And of course, you can buy Who Do You Say I Am? Wherever books are sold, places like Amazon, etc. And if you are looking for a parenting book for the new year, may I gently recommend my book, Parents Rising, 8 Strategies for Raising Kids Who Love God, Respect Authority, and Value What's Right. Get started next month on the right foot and be a leader in your home. Maybe you have someone in your life who needs that encouragement. So Parents Rising, that is the one for you. Remember, I am here to help you. I want to help you if you feel stuck in a mediocre marriage or you feel overwhelmed as a parent. And I hope this podcast will help you in that endeavor. Please share it with your friends. Review it on iTunes if you found it helpful. And remember, until next time, you too can have a happy home.